Yes, today I'm joined by Eric Newman, Showtime Sports executive producer and CEO, co-founder of Pure Hoops Media. What's going on, Eric?
John, how are you, my man? Great to be on. Long time coming, and happy to be on the pod.
Yes, Def, we definitely got it together. So what's been going on with you? I know you're busy.
Yeah, just a little bit busy. Just came back from a very successful NBA All-Star weekend with our official launch of Showtime Basketball, where we had a live taping of All the Smoke with Steven Jackson and Matt Barnes. Our special guest was the one and only future Hall of Famer Kevin Garnett. Yes. And we also announced our documentary project with KG at All-Star, which is extremely exciting, which we'll be putting together throughout the year. So super, super excited for both projects and very fortunate to be in the middle of both of them for Showtime.
Yes, and KG is about to, like you said, about to get inducted into the Hall of Fame. I can't wait for that. Can't wait to talk to him in August.
It's crazy. It's crazy, man. 25 years, he, you know, takes a huge leap and becomes the first player in 20 years since the mid-70s to go straight from high school to the NBA. And 25 years later, he will be going into the NBA Hall of Fame. It's pretty storybook, and it's pretty special to be able to tell the story and have it culminate in such a way.
Definitely. And that story is going to be one a lot of people want to hear about. Like you said, he went straight from high school and now he's going to the Basketball Hall of Fame. That's a one-of-a-kind story. I know you guys are going to do good job on that.
For sure. Yeah. No, it's his story, but it's also the story of the effect that he had on the game, those that came after him.
Right.
The culture, the power forward position, which he transformed because of his skill set and versatility. And the most exciting thing is he's a very driven, passionate, creative mind. So this isn't going to be just, you know, myself and my co-director and co-producers mapping everything out. He's heavily involved and very vested, and
right.
It's a really exciting collaboration for sure.
How did this collaboration come about?
My whole journey has just been this incredible series of connecting the dots in basketball and production, right, and filmmaking. And yes. Shout out to Mark Levin of Blowback Productions. He's an OG in the documentary filmmaking space, and he's also an executive producer of many television series as well. And Mark's first basketball film was Prayer for a Perfect Season, which was on HBO back in 2011, which okay. was about Michael Kidd-Gilchrist and St. Pat's in Jersey. And I got introduced to Mark around that time when I was changing careers from the basketball side to the creative and production side.
Okay.
And I met Mark, and he asked me to actually come watch the film and give him notes because they were close to picture locking it. And I was flattered, and I kind of was just amazed that a guy this established would want a nobody like me at the time to give him notes and feedback. And we started to build a relationship, and you fast forward through my journey and doing different work with him and his team and his son, who's my co-director on this film.
Right.
And, a little over a year ago, he had gotten introduced to KG's team, and the guy that's running some production stuff for KG, who worked on the Allen Iverson film and something else with Mark in the past.
Right.
And I got the intro as I was in LA filming DeMarcus Cousins' comeback from injury with the Resurgence film that I was doing for Showtime. So
right.
Ironically, I got the intro to KG and the team that weekend in January of 2019.
Right.
And it was literally a year of building relationship, building trust, Showtime meetings, crafting the vision, different iterations of it, and, you know, pushing it through. And it's a great partnership. So we're really excited to all be working together. And, you know, ironic, we're talking today. The Jump on ESPN just played a clip from, a first look clip that we debuted in Chicago for All-Star.
Right.
And debuted some other fun stuff from the All the Smoke episode. And we've got a jam-packed of year of production and storytelling in front of us. But super excited to be doing this. It's literally a dream come true from the storytelling side and the basketball side.
Yeah, you're doing a lot. You're directly in the field. You're directly connected with NBA Hall of Famers. I know you love your job. I know you love your job. It's crazy.
Oh man, it's wild, man. It's wild. I if I told you I planned it this way, it would be the biggest lie you've ever heard. Like it's like, you know.
Yeah.
It's about the hard work, and it's about relationship building, and it's about following your passions. And you know, I'm a believer in karma.
Right.
I think a lot of basketball people are. If you play hard and you work hard and you're good to people, good things are going to happen. And that's just what I've tried to do over the years.
Definitely. The NBA panel's going on three and a half years currently. And every time I talk to a new NBA entity, I love it. I love talking basketball. Some of the guests I've met at the Hall of Fame, out in the field, doing media coverage, I love it. I love it. I was able to introduce my son to to NBA players. It's crazy. I love doing this.
Yeah,
I love doing this.
It's great, man. It's great. The, you know, the relationships you build through this are really special. Whether you coach with someone, play with someone, create a project with someone, there's nothing like the game of basketball.
Yeah, I was able to connect with Steven Jackson a few times because I covered the Allen Iverson Classic. You know, he's a coach on that team. He's a great guy to meet. He's down to earth. He's a down to earth person.
When you say one of a kind, that is Steven Jackson. He is he's one of the most unique, honest, genuine people I've gotten to work with.
And yeah.
What we've been building on that show since we launched it in the fall of 2019, it's remarkable. We knew we had a good combination of people there.
Right.
You know, I had the chance to interview Matt Barnes for the resurgence DeMarcus Cousins, and I knew during that interview and our kind of wrap-up convo afterward that this was a guy that I really wanted to get to know and work with, and we had a lot of storytelling synergies. And then Steven's interview in Quiet Storm was awesome, and the filmmaker of Quiet Storm, my friend Johnny Sweet, shout out to Johnny, had great things to say about Steven. And Steven and Matt were really good friends, and you know, I told Showtime, I said, hey, if we're looking to develop some more basketball content,
right,
we got to talk to Matt Barnes. And Matt and Steven, you know, had kind of already wanted to do something together. And that's kind of how all the smoke came to be, along with some other people just, you know, promoting them and pushing them forward. And this show is just so much fun to work on with them and to create the vision and the guests, the conversations, but even, you know, our planning sessions, our dinners, everything. It's if that's what work is,
right,
then, you know, continue to sign me up for that kind of work. It's awesome. It's awesome.
Yeah, your last few guests, Stephen A. Smith, like you said, Kevin Garnett. I mean,
we had the chance to spend time with Kobe Bryant in December of 2019, which was beyond special for all of us.
Right.
Stephen A. Smith, Kevin Durant, KG, Carrie Champion. We've got Boogie Cousins dropping this week, Jamel Hill the week after. You know, it's mainly basketball, but you know, there will be journalists, there will be hip hop artists, actors, entertainers, because we all know, you know, those that crossover, that overlap, and it's part of the game and part of the culture for sure.
Yes. I've had multiple different guests on NBA panel, and they all love the game of basketball, all of NBA. So it all comes together. It all comes together. So how was it working with DeMarcus Cousins?
It was fun. You know, he, again, he's a guy who he's going to tell you how he feels. You know, I had to read him a bit because he at some days would be all locked in doing, wanting to do everything. And then some days I can tell he's getting camera fatigue.
Okay.
And I would always tell him, I said, hey, if you want to unplug, you want to wind it down a little bit today, just tell me, but I don't want to be sitting here guessing. But we built trust right away because he knew that I was prepared and I knew my stuff.
Yeah.
And we wanted to tell a real and genuine story.
Right.
And, you know, he had someone on his team pick up a camera the night he got hurt in January of 2018. Shout out to Diego Pardo. Diego was part of his internal team. You know, comes from a creative background as well, but had never shot every day towards a documentary.
Okay.
And I had done a fun, you know, DraftKings video as a, you know, independent producer with DeMarcus two summers before, where he dresses up as a referee and makes fun of himself.
Okay.
And that's how this thing got started. So when Showtime officially started filming with DeMarcus, Diego and DeMarcus and his team had built up like 6 months of footage, just going through rehab every day and him just talking to camera and all these different things. So we had all of that to use to put that timeline together of him going through this rehab process. And then we picked it up at the beginning of free agency, which obviously was a very stressful but also exciting time for him. So when he decides it's Warriors and looks at me and looks at the camera and says, I'm a Warrior, we knew we were a part of something really unique and special from there. So fun project. The hardest part about that, and obviously a lot harder for DeMarcus than us, but, you know, we finished the film and we were really happy with it.
Right.
And we released it the day of his first playoff game, game one of the 2019 NBA playoffs. And we figured at Showtime that, you know, we'd have a great 2 month stretch where the Warriors being on national TV every other night with DeMarcus playing would really help promote and market the film. And as fate would have it, DeMarcus goes down with a quad injury during game two on that Monday. And I don't think as many people were aware of the film and watched it, but you know, glad we got to tell his story, and it was great reconnecting with him at All the Smoke recently.
Right.
And he's in great spirits and he'll be back on the court. There's no doubt about it. The guy works too hard.
Right.
And he's too good of a ball player. He'll be back. And, you know, this past summer, I don't know if everybody knew this, DeMarcus Cousins was down 20 plus pounds, completely changed his lifestyle and was in terrific shape. And his ACL injury was this freak thing. He was on the road and he was rushing back, and he wouldn't go a day without doing something towards returning to the court. So he knew there was a run to get to, and he went and he rushed on the court. And, you know, you'll see it dropping on the show. He talks about it. He's like, you know, last game, last point. And, you know, he kind of just collides with someone in the lane and twists the wrong way. And the next thing you know, he's got an ACL injury. So he'll be back and wishing him nothing but the best, because we know he's a very skilled, very passionate player.
Yeah.
And still not even 30. We have not seen the last of DeMarcus Cousins, that's for sure.
Yeah, reports come out he should be healthy for the playoffs, and that'll definitely help the Lakers out. They've been getting by with JaVale McGee and Dwight Howard, but we all know DeMarcus Cousins bring a toughness very few can. So
but think about this though. The Dwight Howard comeback to the Lakers doesn't happen if DeMarcus doesn't get hurt.
Very true.
So can you imagine if they get Boogie back? And I have no idea if he's coming back or not.
Right.
But can you imagine if they get Boogie back, let's say in the first or second round, and he's there if you need him, and we know how him and AD play.
Right.
And we know that his IQ and intensity is going to obviously work very well with LeBron James.
Definitely.
That would be flat out scary. So we'll see. I mean, the key for him is proving that he can stay on the floor.
Right.
And he'll likely, you know, I don't want to make any crazy predictions here, but we know how the business works. You got to prove you can stay healthy before you get a multi-year deal again. So
very true.
We'll see what the future holds for him in terms of whether he'll be back in LA or somewhere else. And who's gonna make an offer to him. But seeing him in the playoffs would be a lot of fun if it happens.
Yeah, and that'd be a nightmare for opposing teams, because you have DeMarcus Cousins down low. You can't double team him. Or everyone knows that. You double team him, you leave. Well, you got LeBron on the wing. You got.
do you remember that game in Houston last year after he came back where Durant didn't play, and they said, you know what, we're running the offense through Boogie tonight, and he had like 27 points. 9 rebounds, 8 assists, was passing everything out of the post, just shredding those guys.
Crazy.
And that's who this guy can be if he's healthy on the floor in the right situation. So fingers crossed we see it one day.
Definitely. He's what, a career 21 point per game score? Yes. He's definitely dangerous. Wishing the best of luck.
Walking double,
bucket.
Double,
yeah.
Walking double-double. But here's the thing about him, right? Like, he makes his name. It's not on athleticism. It's on skill and IQ. And he's not going to jump over you.
Yeah.
He will go through you.
Yeah.
He'll go around you. He'll outsmart you. He can shoot it. He can play high post. He can play low post. He can make the three. I hope people don't forget how good this guy is, you know?
Definitely. So tell us about Pure Hoops Media.
So Pure Hoops Media, and it's wild to think about how the last year has gone. So, we see the explosion of basketball content.
Yes.
Whether it's social, digital, obviously the networks have their partnerships, and there's only so many networks that can broadcast NBA games or studio shows. But with the emergence of podcast platforms and a lot of people doing the same thing, I really wanted to put a team of people together that was going to start with audio first, which is obviously the most efficient and inexpensive way to create content compared to video, and really refining video and being in shoot, both know.
Right.
And I wanted to put together a team of people that was passionate about storytelling and analysis and insight. And we've noticed the last 5 years that there have been companies who have changed course, there have been large layoffs at companies, there have been people who have just been splintered from one department to another, and there are a lot of free agents out there. And I just started having a lot of conversations with people, and originally back in the day, back when I was in college and graduating college in 2000 and early in my career, I wanted to be a broadcaster, and that comes from my love of sports, love of the game. Growing up reading everything and consuming, every book in the library and every NBA entertainment tape, et cetera, et cetera. And I always thought that my experiences along the way in basketball as a former coach, now as a producer and a filmmaker, lend a lot to my voice and the stories that I could tell. And I knew I just didn't want to do a show. I wanted to create something more. And I've learned from a lot of good people, smart people in the industry, about how to scale things and how to build things
right,
through trial and error. And, I just started having conversations with people. And ironically, I've put a company together where on the business side, my partner is, shout out to Scott Kalka. He is, I've known him since grade school. He's a friend of my younger brother and one of his basketball teammates from high school. And he has a media company. And Bruce Bernstein is a former ESPN Emmy award-winning producer who did NBA coverage, studio shows, and live coverage. And guy comes to the table with just incredible experience and an incredible Rolodex, but more importantly, an incredible person. And he introduces me to BJ Armstrong, and BJ and I hit it off right away. And Mike Wise, who used to be with the Undefeated and the Washington Post and the New York Times, always right, wanted to get into this space. And all of a sudden we just started creating this team of people. And now a year later, we've got 5 shows, 1 show for every day of the week. We're still looking to grow
smart.
And yeah.
That's smart.
And,
very smart.
It's that's what they tell me. It's smart. So thank you for confirming that. But it's college basketball.
Outside looking in, it's a very smart move. It is.
Oh, for sure. Thank you. So college basketball, NBA basketball, male hosts, female hosts. You know, Monica McNutt, a rising star in the industry. She played at Georgetown. She's got her own show. We just launched another college show with John Fanta and Kim Adams. They're both basketball analysts on major networks.
Right.
And, you know, Mike does a show. And then we've got this, you know, this show called Catch and Shoot with Otto Strong, who's a veteran journalist, and Aaron Berlin, who's down in Orlando starting his career. And then, you know, doing a show with BJ every week is, it's amazing. Again, like, I get to talk hoops with a 3-time NBA champion who's got more Michael Jordan and NBA 90s stories than you know what to do with. So, you know, we're still really young in our infancy, and we're looking to grow in 2020, and I know we will. But again, just like I said earlier, just hard work, good people, and chasing our passions. And that's what Pure Hoops is. But, you know, if anyone's listening out there and you want to get involved in a company that's going to value your efforts and value your insight and want to start doing good work and getting your work out there instead of being a PA forever or getting somebody coffee, check out what we're doing and reach out. And, you know, the other thing that we're doing, John, that I'm really excited about too, it's a less frequent show, but, you know, I've got some longtime basketball friends that have created their own basketball events company called Made Hoops.
Okay.
And they do middle school age, you know, exposure events for teams all over the country. They're Nike affiliated, and we're doing a grassroots show with them too, where we've done 3 or 4 episodes up until this point. So you get a sense of what's going on at that level and some of the teams and hotbeds and names that are emerging. I'm not into rankings or any of that stuff, but I'm into watching talent develop and making sure they're developing the right way,
right,
and playing in the right environments, and Made Hoops is doing a wonderful job. So that's my man Chad Babel, his brother Kyle. To give you an idea of how far I go back with people in this industry, John, Chad, when he was 17 and I was 24, 25, I was the director of the Basketball City Camps.
Wow.
Back on the west side of Manhattan when it was next to Chelsea Piers in the bubble. Chad was my assistant. That's how far back we go. So like 2004, 2005, like these relationships and these brotherhoods that we all have,
right,
and especially with this unique crew of people I've been lucky enough to be connected with and have great relationships with in New York, it's really special. And that's just one example.
Yes, you're currently with Showtime, working with Showtime Sports. You had some stops at some major companies, the Uninterrupted. I believe you were at ESPN.
Yeah, well, those were all just
stops. Yeah, yeah.
Those were all just working on different projects.
Right,
so,
right.
You know, for me, you know, Uninterrupted, you know, was able to get connected there to do a few things because of my friend Aaron Phillips, who was over there running development for quite some time. And, you know, one of my big brother figures in the industry is a guy by the name of Paul Rivera, goes by PR.
Right.
He's part of the LeBron James inner circle. And, you know, he runs the sports marketing arm of what they're doing and, you know, directly tied in with Uninterrupted and Spring Hill. So that was all project work. You know, for me, my big break in breaking into this after being a high school coach and clinic director and camp director, but always doing creative on the side was,
right,
you know, 2010 World Basketball Festival. You know, I'm out on the floor with Kobe Bryant at Rucker Park, and there's hundreds of media around.
Right.
And I've got a camera on the floor documenting what we're doing, but everyone's documenting that day. And this is still like Blackberries and flip cams.
Okay.
But it's digital in HD, but this was the start of the rise of it. And I'll never forget that day taking notice of where I was and what was happening. And the next day, I've got just people emailing me and texting me left and right because I'm in all these pictures with Kobe. And I've always been a film nut and have this media and production background as well as coaching background. And I knew I had to make a choice. I knew kind of trying to do some stuff on the side while I was doing the basketball stuff full time, like something needed to give. And at the time, I didn't necessarily have the the network I do now, obviously, but you know, I wanted in the worst way to figure out, how do I get on an NBA bench? How do I get in a front office? And maybe I wasn't going about it right. Maybe I wasn't looking at it the right way, but it wasn't happening. And I ended up making a choice less than a year later that I was going to pursue, you know, production and storytelling and use my, just my hustle skills and my work ethic to make it happen and my network of people. And I did that in the summer of 2011. And 2 years later, I landed at Bleacher Report. After Turner bought Bleacher Report, and I led, you know, NBA in terms of all the news stuff and the highlights and the stuff that went to Team Stream. And I led that for almost 2 years and got to work with the likes of Howard Beck and Rick Bucher, and had a team of people and, you know, access to, you know, tons of NBA footage and highlights. And yeah, it was a startup environment, but learned a lot from the experience. But at the end of the day, as much as I love the game and that stuff, it's film, it's storytelling, it's being out in the field, it's traveling. Those are all the things I love. So from 2015 to now, I've been independent, hustling, working, collaborating, building towards all of these things that have happened.
Yes.
And lucky for me, I had an in at Showtime. So the first thing I ever did with Showtime actually was, you know, I was given extras from the Allen Iverson documentary. And was asked, hey, can you craft some digital extras for us that we can use to promote the film on social and YouTube? And to this day, those things are sitting there on the platform, and they're on the Showtime basketball platform now. So it's pretty cool looking back at where this part of the journey pivoted for me and where it's taken me now. So it's really exciting.
Yeah, congratulations on everything you've done and what you're going to accomplish. I know what you...
Appreciate that.
You gotta keep going. You got to. Sometimes you want to stop, but you got, that's when you gotta push hard. Yeah, that's when you got. That's when you gotta push harder.
For sure. For sure. No, I mean, and that's where, the basketball mentality really comes in. And whether, you know, people now are all about the Mamba mentality in honor of Kobe, and that's great and all, but that's not just something you decide to do to honor someone
who tragically
passed away. You got to live that every day.
Yeah, it's not a spur of the moment thing you do.
No, you do. And for me, as I've gotten older, I've learned how to, it's not so much pace myself, but, you know, if you knew me 10, 11 years ago, as a basketball coach, you would respect what I was doing, but also kind of look at me with a moment of caution, because I was dialed in and dialed the bleep up all the time as a competitor.
Right.
And that's exhausting. And it's also like it could really lead to a burnout effect. So I learned over the long haul how to channel my energy properly and how to really take any and all, whether it's a frustration, a disappointment, bulletin board material, you know, whatever it is. And I put that in my furnace, and that's all part of the drive. And for me, I get a great thrill out of creating great work, and the team building things that I learned through the game, through my high school coach, through I played football at Ithaca College, through my football experience and my teammates and the long hours in the weight room, or being told I was too slow, or being, you know, questioned, or whatever it is that I could use as my ammo. You know, I keep that in an accessible place, and it helps me push and push and push. But when you're passionate about what you do, and you know this, like, you're passionate about what you do, there is no I'm too tired.
Exactly.
There's just problem solving. It's figuring out how to get it done and then doing it.
Right. And I'm my own worst critic. Someone could tell me I had a good show, and I still be like, no, I could have did this better, I could have did that better, or this could have happened this way.
I'm
constantly critiquing anything I do.
Every shoot, I'm asking, did I do this? Was this the best I could have been today? Was this awesome?
And, yes.
And usually they're the someone that will remind me that, yo, calm down, you did a good job. But like, if there's something that needs to be fixed, whether it's on all the smoke, whether it's I'm in the field doing something on this KG film,
right,
whatever it is, I want to get better every day. And I'm always figuring out how to do that. And, you know, part of how I watch content, whether it's, you know, watching the jump today and I see my own work on the jump, which is surreal, yeah, or I'm watching I started the, I don't know if you've seen this yet, the Malcolm X documentary that's on Netflix right now. It's a multi-part documentary investigating, his murder, which is super interesting, but I'm soaking up, you know, graphics packages and how to present this or how to shoot this interview. Or when I'm watching, you know, the reason why I fell in love with film was because of feature films. It wasn't, you know, documentaries weren't big like they are now 20, 30 years ago.
Right.
So when I'm watching Once Upon a Time, or I'm watching a Scorsese film or whatever it is, or I'm watching the other night on the plane home, I'm watching Die Hard. Like, I'm always trying to pick something out.
Gotcha.
You know, and it was the same way I used to consume the game. I don't know about you, but when Hubie Brown is on, like, the volume is up and I'm taking something from him doing the game. And that's how I was as a young basketball coach.
Yeah.
That's how I am now as a creative. I'm a lifetime learner. I'm a sponge for this stuff. And that's what makes me, you know?
I love listening to Doris Burke. I met her finally at the Basketball Hall of Fame last year, I believe. We were coming out and she was coming in to the special invite only dinner they have. It was crazy seeing her in person and meeting her. It was crazy.
Yeah, I still haven't met her. I hear great things. I haven't met her. She knows her stuff.
Yes, she does.
Listen, every broadcaster is not for everybody, right? But
right.
You either know your stuff or you don't. There's nowhere to hide. And
right.
she played at a high level, but she works at this, you know, she works at this big time. So, you know, she's great to listen to. I mean, for me, Hubie Brown is beyond a legend. You know, I used to go to the Garden State Coaches Clinic every year, St. Benedict's in Newark, right, which is where I believe J.R. Smith went. And that's where Danny Hurley coached before he jumped to college. And 3 years in a row, I got Hubie Brown as one of the presenters, and he's on the court on a mic moving the high school players around through drills and stuff, but he's also making us laugh our asses off because he's telling stories when he's coaching the Knicks or coaching Powell and the Grizzlies and dropping F-bombs, and he's amazing, and he's changed the way that we consume the game on television because of the use of statistics. But then you add in the coach speak with that.
Right.
And for, you know, for all the younger people listening, Hubie Brown was one of the great coaches ever and is known as the greatest clinic guy ever. So Hubie used to go to 5-star clinics, and there's a little footage of that floating around somewhere. Watching Hubie Brown give a talk or give a clinic at 5-star is like nothing you've ever seen before. The guy's unbelievable.
The loss of Kobe. That was one of the events that everyone will remember where they were when that happened. When I first heard, I'm sure like everyone else, I was hoping it was a hoax, a dirty hoax someone was playing.
Man.
And then certifiable sources started broadcasting it, that it was true. I just lost it. I couldn't believe it was really true. He had an impact on the world. The world is mourning right now. Still mourning.
Still
mourning. He had an impact on so many people, and he was a big part of the game of basketball overall. Can you remember, where were you when you heard the news? How did it hit you?
You talk about some surreal stuff. I was in L.A., and it was Sunday morning, and I was in my hotel room, and we had just finished two amazing days starting the Garnett Project. So all these clips we're talking about, I had filmed my first sit down with KG on Friday.
Right.
We had filmed a whole bunch of stuff with him on Saturday, including going to the cliffs in Malibu and going to the beach in Malibu, 15 minutes, 20 minutes from where the accident happened, driving through a thick morning fog to get to the beach, which I thought was going to be cinematically beautiful for KG. The fog didn't stay.
Right.
And the next morning, I go for a planning breakfast with my co-director and co-producer, Dan Levin. and just go back to the room just to pack up and take a deep breath. We're not flying until 4 o'clock, and you know, we're all on these endless text threads for different things, work and personal. And I get the TMZ thing sent, and I'm like, I look at it, and I'm like, oh, I'm not, no way. Like, there's no way. And then people start texting me because they know I'm quote unquote in the industry, but how am I going to have official word on this? And then, John, I get a phone call from an old friend of mine who I used to play a lot of ball with when I was younger. He lives in Chicago, and he happens to have a friend who works in private aviation.
Right.
And his friend heard about the accident over a radio call, and it was confirmed that it was his helicopter, and he was on that radio call, and that was before any of the major press outlets had it. And he called me, and he's like, listen, I know you don't want to believe it, but this is I wouldn't be telling you this if I didn't believe
right,
my guy.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, CNN has the accident but doesn't have the names. And all of a sudden, it all just happens from there. And it was I still can't believe it.
Yeah, so it still doesn't seem real. It still doesn't seem real to me.
No,
it doesn't.
And I was just, I spent an hour and a half with the guy in December with Matt and Stack and our crew, and we filmed their episode. And
right.
I got to share with him the photo of me and him from 10 years before at Rucker, and he remembered that day, and he took an interest in how I got here and how I was in the room running this show and producing this stuff.
Right.
I told him how it was, and he really cared, but he had a huge impact on me because he just worked at his craft so much. And ironically, until the day I met him, I'm a diehard Celtics fan who grew up in New York, so I met him 6 weeks after Game 7 of the 2010 Finals.
Right.
And he was always the enemy. And then upon meeting him, he was just this incredible person. All he wanted to do was work with the kids out on the court. And we just went through that whole thing together. And it was such a huge moment in my career at the time. And watching the stretch run of his career was unreal. And seeing how he had transitioned into this next phase of his life and what he was doing with women's basketball and the Mamba Center and coaching his daughter, and guy goes and wins an Oscar, like, and just improving people's lives on the day to day. And the biggest thing that I picked up the day that we were filming with him was this wasn't a guy who was trying to find happiness after his career. He was genuinely happy.
Right.
And, I got messages from people, and I checked in with a lot of people who I knew were hurting a lot more than I was, because I knew they either knew him, had played against him at some point, or had a special connection to him. And, someone I know wrote me a text. He's like, I feel like, whether it's weeks later or months later, he's going to walk out of the woods somewhere with his daughter over his shoulder, limping on a big branch after fighting a bear to get out. That's the belief that people have in this guy. His impact on the world and his legacy is something that is going to last for the test of time. But the one of the realest conversations, John, I had about this, one of my friends, he's older, he's a parent of a kid that I used to teach and coach. And I've known the guy a long time. And the first thing he said to me was, Eric, when I heard the news, the first person I thought of was you, because that could have been us as sports families going somewhere back in the day to a weekend tournament or a weekend practice or whatever it was. And, Kobe and his daughter lost their lives that day, but so did 7 other people. And they were all just doing what they loved to do, which was going to weekend sports and being together and improving the lives of their kids through sports. And one way or another, that's why we all get into this stuff.
Yeah.
And it's tragic, man. It's hard, but he'll be celebrated, and his impact will leave a positive mark on the world for much longer than we're on this planet. That's for sure.
Definitely. And the NBA has been paying tribute to him and also extended it out to this past NBA All-Star weekend. They added his jersey number 24 to the final score of the NBA All-Star game, which, including with the charity money they put up, it made the NBA All-Star game one of the most competitive in years. I can't remember last time I was glued to my TV in the fourth quarter of an NBA All-Star game. We had players arguing calls, diving on the floor. We had Giannis going at LeBron. They were really intense.
The last time I was that I felt that way about a game was when Mike came back, and I think it's 2003. So KG actually wins the MVP of that All-Star game.
Right.
But Mike made this ridiculous baseline turnaround fadeaway, I think over Sean Marion, where I still don't know how he got the shot off. And this is 2003 Mike on the Wizards, so he's not jumping
right
nearly as high as he used to.
And somehow, career, Mike.
Somehow he gets this thing up and over Marion, and it's nothing but net. And it was super competitive just in that game because of his presence. But the NBA... They bet on these changes helping the game. They bet right, and super exciting. And you know, say what you want to say about the finality of the dunk contest, but the dunk contest being that exciting, the 3-point shootout going down to the last shot for Buddy Hield to win, and then the game being this way, and all of the other surrounding things around the weekend, you know, while paying tribute to Kobe and the late Commissioner David Stern. As tragic as those things are, they did a great job with that stuff. And All-Star Weekend was wonderful. Besides it being 1 degree in Chicago, everything else was beautiful.
Yeah, it was one of the best All-Star Weekends I can remember. Complete as a whole, it was. And I think that dunk contest should have been a tie. I think it should have been a tie. They could have gotten another trophy. That shouldn't have ended like that. That's my opinion, but... Hey, it did. I think that should have been the tie because they both went all out with those dunks they did.
I agree. And I don't know if, you know, not to go all conspiracy theory here right now, but I don't know if they, you know, said to the judges, you know, you need to decide this now because our TV time slot was only through 10:30 Eastern, 9:30 Central or whatever it was. But any of that in a tie would not have been a problem. Like, go order another trophy, call it a day.
Yeah.
That would have been great. But, you know, ironically, in 88, the last time All-Star was in Chicago.
Yeah, Jordan and Dominique.
You had the Jordan-Dominique dunk-off, which was like this incredible thing. And I was 10 years, not even 10 years old yet, but lived on those highlights forever. And then Bird wins his third straight 3-point shootout on his last shot, putting his hand in the air before the ball goes in.
With the warm-up jacket. And,
with the warm-up jacket on. And I'm so mad at myself for not bringing the warm-up jacket to wear Saturday night in Chicago. total miss on my part. But you have the same exact scenarios presenting themselves now.
Right.
And it was pretty crazy. So it was great. It was great. And you know, and then not to go off on a tangent here, but this whole, you know, panic about TV ratings going down, you know, there's a lot of reasons why TV ratings are down. And it's not because of the love of the game and the league being in the bad shape. It's a lot of different technology things going on and people who are streaming or watching stuff on social or not watching full games as much. Like, it's not because of a lack of excitement, that's for sure. Say what you want about style of play, and we can talk about which eras we like better anytime.
Right.
But the NBA is in a very good place. There's no doubt about that.
It definitely is. And Zion put on a little dunk expedition. You know, he missed, but you can imagine the hype. I think Zion would have been a favorite to win a dunk contest if he was healthy. Just his hype alone, because he came into the season as Rookie of the Year favorite, just basically off of hype. But we all know what he could do.
Well, rookie of the year favorite, if you ask some people. I'm actually going to pat myself on the back here, and I do have proof of it on my pod with BJ. I picked Ja Morant.
So I'm right.
I'm just a big, big believer in this kid. And I felt like, listen, if the Pelicans were healthy through the whole year, like Zion would be having a terrific year. But there's a lot of dudes on that team. A lot of guys need the ball. And Zion, to me, is a player that is going to get a lot of stuff through the flow of the game. And as we've seen the emergence of Brandon Ingram become their number one scorer, I feel like that team's going to be real balanced as they move forward. Well, Ja's got the keys. Ja's the maestro, and he's a special player. But, I mean, Zion in the dunk contest, I mean, if that happens at some point, I want to be as close to the court as possible for that.
Yeah, maybe next year. We'll see. We'll definitely see. So who you think is going to win the championship this year?
Who do I think or do I want?
Both.
Well, in the preseason, you know, BJ and I put each other on the spot from time to time. So I picked a Clippers-Bucks NBA Finals.
Okay.
And I believe I have the Clippers winning it. But sitting here right now and being nostalgic and knowing that the Lakers have something
to fight for, play for,
extra to play for, and being a diehard Celtics fan, and it being 10 years since the last time they played, and the fact that I'm making a film with and about Kevin Garnett.
Right.
If we can get Lakers Celtics to get in the NBA Finals, that would be special.
Yeah, that would. That would.
Yeah. You know, but this Milwaukee team and how special Giannis is and how they are constructed in terms of size, depth, spot up shooting around him, and the chip on the shoulder that they should have after blowing a 2-0 lead to Toronto last year in the Eastern Conference Finals and then having to watch Toronto go win it.
Yeah.
They're going to be really tough to beat. They're going to be really tough to beat, as will Toronto.
Yeah, Toronto is one of the surprise favorites. Some people's favorites, but they're a surprise team.
You know, before the season, you're looking at the Eastern Conference playoff teams, and you know that Kyle Lowry would come back with something to prove, and you know that Siakam would keep growing, and you know how proud Serge Ibaka and Marc Gasol are. But, Siakam taking another monster leap, Van Fleet showing like he's going to get paid, and some of these other guys stepping up their games. I mean, Norman Powell's been in and out of the lineup, but when he's in the lineup, he's been terrific. Like, Toronto's really tough. And then the leap the Heat have made, and Indiana has struggled a bit since Oladipo has come back, but that's just because they got to figure their chemistry out. And as much as I can't stand Philly, just growing up a Celtics fan, like, the Sixers are going to be a tough out for anybody. So the East is going to be a street fight. Yeah. And the West is also going to be super exciting when the playoffs start. So, you know, I could sit here and make predictions all day, but and listen, at the end of the day, like, the Western Conference, if both LA teams are healthy when this thing starts up, like, you got to go through LA to get there. Yeah. And in the East, as well as Tatum and Brown and Marcus Smart and Gordon Hayward have been playing, and Kemba Walker, we know, is the perfect fit for that team and can be that closer.
Right.
They're going to be good, but so is Toronto and so is Miami. And Miami adding Jay Crowder and they're just those little things. I mean, can you imagine if they got the Gallinari part of that deal done too? Like, they'd be a nightmare right now. So
when Gallo was healthy, Gallo was on my favorite team, Denver Nuggets. He used to kill me because he always stayed injured. But when he was healthy, he was dangerous from the wing. Spread the floor, shoot threes, get to the
Well, when the Knicks gave him up in the Carmelo deal, it was like that. We'll do a different podcast on that, man. Like, the Knicks giving up all.
I definitely want you back on. We definitely got to do this again.
All of those pieces, including Gallo, to get Melo, and they could have signed Melo and kept him.
Yeah.
It's crazy. But, I mean, you got to be excited about your Nuggets, especially with the emergence of Porter Jr.
Yes.
Yeah, you guys are going to be tough. And actually, one of my one of my favorite interviews I've ever done was my interview with Coach Malone last year for the Cousins film. And right. he's a hardcore New York guy.
Right.
And his father was an assistant coach for many years in the NBA. I mean, you want to talk basketball history with a guy. Mike Malone is the man. And I love the way he coaches. And right. he was a special coach to DeMarcus because he coaches hard. He's honest. And he's going to be real with you. But Denver's a lot of fun to watch. And I don't want to see Denver if I'm anybody in the West. I mean,
nah.
so balanced,
yes.
so unique because of Joker's skill set.
Yeah.
And, you know, listen, Denver, Houston now officially going small. And, of course, Utah.
Yeah.
With the two L.A. teams, the top five in the West are right. brutal.
Right.
Are brutal. And then you've got a bunch of teams starting with Dallas, who we know are a year away.
Right.
And who are going to be in the mix. And, you know, whoever's got to face Dallas in the first round and deal with Luka and KP.
Yeah.
That's going to be a challenge for sure. So as we always say, but it's come true the last couple of years, obviously Golden State was a very difficult team to deal with in 17 and 18. And there was no real challenge for them. But the NBA playoffs and the lead up to the playoffs the last several years
right.
have been super exciting, and this year won't change that at all.
Yeah, and Houston just picked up DeMar Carroll from he's got bought out from the Spurs. He's gonna be a good vet pickup. So
that gives another strapper. Another strapper
yes.
who can shoot the three and play defense for
yes,
sure.
Yes.
For sure.
Yes. And the Clippers just got Reggie Jackson. Well, they're going to get Reggie Jackson. He has got bought out by the Pistons. Yeah,
that's official.
Yeah, bought out by the Pistons, and he's going to sign with them after waivers.
So they had Marcus Morris, and they keep him away from the Lakers, and they had Reggie Jackson. Yeah,
they're about to get Reggie Jackson. That bench is crazy with Luke Williams already there. They got so much scoring power off the bench. They were my pick in the preseason. I mean, because of their depth, because of Paul George, Patrick Beverly, Kawhi, they can throw all those bodies at both LeBron James.
They've got Kawhi, Paul George, Marcus Morris, Patrick Patterson,
and
Jermichael Green at times to just
throw
at him. You know what I mean? Give him a different look. Give him a bigger body. Give him a quicker body. Give him a longer body.
Yeah.
There's no stopping him, but it's trying to get him out of rhythm.
Yeah.
Trying to slow him down a little bit. We saw what the Celtics tried to do in the past back in 18 in the conference finals, which they blew that game 7, which I was at, which was still brutal to think about. But man, that's why LeBron James is an all time great. And you know, we can have the GOAT conversation another time, but this guy this year,
you're 17,
after sitting out last year and being questioned and being doubted and now wanting to represent the legacy of Kobe Bryant and what he meant to Los Angeles, the Lakers, and the basketball world, watch out.
Yeah, these playoffs are going to be – he's going to be extra motivated when the playoffs start. You know, he's going to try and go harder for Kobe. It's going to be scary.
And AD having a legit shot to go to the NBA Finals? I mean, man, I can't wait.
Definitely. So, Eric, what advice would you give anyone that wants to get into producing and following this field, getting to this field?
Oh, man, where do I begin? You know, you got to be willing to put in the time. And, you know, I don't want to sound like the grumpy old man, but, you know, a lot of people get in the industry a couple of years and they're looking to become, you know, producers and senior producers, you know, before they're 30 years old. And you've got to learn the craft, and you've got to sit down and you've got to know, if not know how to edit, you've got to know the philosophies of editing. If you don't know how to shoot, you got to at least know how to talk to a director of photography or a cameraman and know the styles and know the techs. And you've got to be able to work really well with other people. This is all about collaboration, and this is all about growth. And, you know, I'm the first one to admit, man, I know I've got a lot of really good experience and I got a lot of knowledge, but you know, when I was younger, I had to get I was a know-it-all. How to get my ego in order.
Right.
And you got to check your ego at the door. You got to have self-confidence, but you got to check your ego at the door.
I agree.
And it's huge, but you know, it's consistency. And if you want to really establish yourself,
yes,
and you want to get into the industry, you got to consistently be creating content, whether you're doing a podcast like you're doing, like what we've created with Pure Hoops,
right,
whether you're getting in front of a camera, whether you are editing mixtapes together. I mean, look how House Highlights was born.
Yeah.
Look how guys have gotten edit jobs at the NBA. They're sitting there and, you know, there's you either go shoot your own stuff or there's existing stuff you could get, and you've got to spend the time doing it. I mean, I can't tell you how many nights I had my old MacBook Pro open with Final Cut and the old Final Cut Pro Bible. And every night I would open that book up, and my goal was, while I'm doing this, I'm going to teach myself something new. And that's how I started building my own skill set. Because when I was at undergrad, there was none of this digital stuff. I was learning film and editing, you know, taping stuff together and VHS to VHS and all that stuff. And, you know, I was a media intern in my early 20s and going to Nick playoff games at the Garden, and sticking the mic in players' faces and doing all that. And you gotta build up the resume, but you gotta learn, you gotta hustle, you gotta find people to learn from. You know, I still try to learn from people who I've had relationships for a long time, or people that are more established than me. And there are young people that I'm trying to bring along, whether it's people that I work with and alongside, whether it's, you know, Showtime, our partner production company, people who work under me for Pure Hoops, my former players who are now adults after college.
Right.
You know, it's all about collabing and building and learning. And but you got to be willing to do the work.
Yeah.
And listen, unless you've got that relative who's getting you that job, there's no shortcuts.
Yeah.
There's no shortcuts, man.
Definitely.
So that's the biggest thing.
I agree with everything you just said. Like I'm like I always said, I'm my biggest critic. I also know my strengths and I know my weaknesses, things I need to work on.
Well, and that's the other one too. And I learned that the hard way. Like I used to try to do everything, and you can't do everything. And if there are things that you're really, really good at,
right,
you got to go after those first.
Yeah.
And the things you aren't good at, you either need to find the time to improve them, or you need to work with other people where those are their strengths.
Right.
So, and again, you could take that right out onto the court. Like if I'm not a good ball handler, but I think I'm a guard, like that's a problem. And it's lessons of the game, but it's so much of it, John, has been because I've been able to recognize what I'm really good at, what I love to do.
Right.
And then being able to build relationships and build trust, and then these magical collaborations happen. And now here we sit in 2020. So
yes.
That's big, but always happy to, you know, speak to young people about, you know, how they can figure out a way to get into the industry and offer advice. And, you know, that's one, I was having this conversation the other day. It's one thing that I truly miss about coaching and doing camps and clinics is being out there on the floor consistently and knowing that my work and passion and effort was going towards young people and trying to help them propel their lives forward. And I want to start doing more of that again, whether it's getting back on a court or doing that through, you know, production and creative. So it's definitely something I'm trying to do more of.
Definitely. And you must stay consistent no matter what.
Yep.
Just keep pushing.
You can't listen. You want to do a podcast? You can't do a podcast once a month. You want to become a basketball writer? You can't write once a week. You got to sit down. You got to put the work in. And even if it's 10 minutes a day, that's where it starts. And 10 minutes turns into 20, and 20 turns into 45, and 45 turns into 3 hours.
Definitely.
And that's it. That's it. That's how Spike Lee got started. That's how other great filmmakers got started. That's how you do it. There's no secrets. There's no secrets. The secret is work your ass off and do it consistently.
Exactly. Eric, man, thank you so much for your time, man. This was good. I enjoyed talking to you, man. It was a long time coming.
Me too,
man.
Me too. I appreciate you staying on me to do this, and the timing's great, and happy to be a part of it. And let's do this again right before the playoffs. We can look at some matchups.
Definitely.
We can make some picks. We can talk some trash. It'll be good. Let's do that for sure.
I definitely back out to you. Thanks for joining me.
Awesome. Thanks, Sean. Bye. Appreciate it.
See you. Yes, that was Eric Newman. I love talking to him. Showtime Sports producer, Eric Newman. Catch you next week.